Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Friesen. He's run for office in Saskatchewan for the Buffalo Party and for the People's Party of Canada. He's the grizzly patriot fighting for freedom in Canada online at ffcs.info. You can follow him on Twitter at MarkFriesen08 and on Facebook at Mark Friesen. Mark, welcome back to the Goddard Report.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Warning for our listeners, there is some strong language in this report. Now, yesterday you went live on social media in an emotionally filled rant titled Spitting Fucking Angry. What are you spitting fucking angry about?
Tension through black walks. Excuse me. They sent in a Freedom of Information request to get information on COVID practice around what the government was doing. And it turns out, between the Privy Council and the Government of Canada, that they were aware that there would be harms to people with the jab. But they covered that off with, obviously, positive narrative built around, you know, convincing people to get the jab. And of course they brought in mandates to mandate the jab, and people were losing their jobs if they didn't get the jab. And they knew that it was going to harm people. They knew from moderate to severe, they knew this. And so that's what I'm spitting angry about.
Well, now, they put aside money, they said, for people who could prove that they were harmed. A handful of cases have gone through. But I saw a case where a guy had proven allergic to the vaccine. He'd had it once, and he was forced to get it again for his job. So he had the shot in hospital in case he went into anaphylactic shock. In other words, his life was on the line, and there were no exceptions for that, even though you had proven that you were allergic.
They knew this was going to happen. And that's why the news yesterday is just so incredibly important, because the government knew that there would be harms from moderate to severe, up to and including death. They knew this. So what are they mandating it for? What are they using the media to promote this killer? It's just amazing to me.
How many people could have been involved in or had knowledge of this cover-up?
Oh, I think it's pretty extensive. I think it, you know, obviously there was many discussions between federal health people and provincial health people and throughout, you know, for example, the Saskatchewan Health Authority. I'm sure this discussion was had amongst those people. So I think it's pretty past the number of people that knew that there would be harms in this jab. I think it's pretty extensive.
Now, is covering up information involving experimental injections that caused serious harm to people a crime?
I think it should be. I think these people should be held fully accountable and responsible for their actions by sticking this into people's arms, knowing full well the damage that could be done. they need to be held accountable.
Well, at least they should have let people know there was some risk involved in this.
Well, I mean, we had, you know, Nuremberg 1, where this was a tenant of Nuremberg, informed consent, where the government knew that this could harm people. They didn't put out that messaging to the people as part of informed consent. They didn't do that. Refused. They did the off. They covered it up, and nobody knew. Responsibility. They claim, Justin Trudeau loves to claim, that it's all about safety. It's all about health. Well, if it is, why didn't you tell us that this could be potentially harmful to people, to the point of death? That could be.
Yeah. Crimes against humanity and genocide have been exposed. How do we hold them accountable?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. You know, I've yet to hear a peep out of any of the Conservative Party members. Of course, you know, they're partly responsible for this. It was Pierre Poilievre who said one of the problems is people aren't getting this jab fast enough. Obviously, you know, I can't say for sure that they knew what the Privy Council and what the Government of Canada knew in regards to harming people, but there's enough information out there by doctors outside the system that were raising the alarm in regards to this mRNA. Dr. Malone, Dr. McCullough, Paul Alexander, Dr. Hodgkinson, they all warned many of us, and that's a big reason why so many of us didn't get the jab, because of what these doctors were saying. So, you know, when it comes to accountability, are they going to be held accountable? I'm not sure what the process is to do that. Obviously, there's going to have to be some lawyers involved, I would think, to, you know, to start that process of accountability. Is it going to be done by anybody in government? I have zero faith in any of that. Because the fact of the matter is, if they were to investigate, if they were to shine a light on this, they would all be held accountable. Federally, provincially, and within the health authorities. So are they going to hold themselves accountable? I have very little faith in any of that.
Are historical genocides comparable to what's going on?
I would say so. If you talk to Dr. Hodgkinson, he suggests that, you know, millions of people have been detrimentally affected by this jab, and millions others have died. And so, you know, is it comparable? I would say yes, it is. I mean, just on the face of it, the virus itself was manufactured in a lab through gain-of-function research funded by the United States. And so, you know, they started this ball rolling with the release of that virus, and then they come out with the jab that is potentially killing more people than the illness. So I would say, yes, it's definitely comparable to other genocidal eras that we've experienced as humanity.
Are the powers that be likely to block any investigations into the cover-up?
Oh, they are scrambling, I believe, as we speak, to cover up whatever they can cover up so they're not held responsible. I mean, this is enormous news as far as I'm concerned, where they knew this, and there's proof that they knew this, that they knew there would be harms and potentially deaths. They're scrambling right now to cover this off, to cover it up, so they're not held responsible. And what is the responsibility? Like, is it prison time? I think it should be. You actively promoted a jab that could potentially kill people and harm and maim people. You did it on purpose, and you knew it. So that to me, that constitutes prison time, I would say.
Of course, if a member of parliament in Canada is found to have violated the ethics law, the maximum penalty is a $500 fine. So Trudeau's been found guilty twice, and that's the maximum penalty.
Right.
So, in other words, for one of them, a lunch bill.
Right. Yep.
Is this a job for the military to investigate? And under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada free trade agreement, does it have to be the Canadian military?
Well, I'd sure love to see a military tribunal in regards to this and an investigation. I think it has to be, you know, I'm not sure. You know, within the military, I think they're fairly corrupt as well. So is that the answer? I'm not sure. But there has to be an outside agency not connected to the government that has to investigate this and raise the alarm and hold people accountable and responsible for that decision.
How did this information that you found out, how did this come to light? How did you find out?
Well, I was just on Twitter, and I happened to see somebody share an article from the Western Standard. The Western Standard picked up this information from Blacklocks and ran a story on it. And Slobodian, the author of the article, you know, didn't pull any punches. She's 100% correct. I read it online on a live stream last night. And she's 100% bang on in what she wrote.
Is this Canadian scandal enough to finally wake up the victims of the COVID hoax?
I sure hope it is. I'm doing my darndest to get it out there and to raise enough awareness that they knew this and all of the people that have been injured and have died from this. There needs to be accountability. So I sure hope so. I hope people are paying attention.
Do you think that pathologists were told if somebody died from the vaccine to put down some other cause of death on the death certificate?
Oh, guaranteed. I'm sure they're writing down, you know, other potential comorbidities and other, you know, elements to this that caused their death. I'm sure that the cover-up is going to run deep throughout the medical establishment, throughout, you know, health authorities. There's a lot of people, I think, that are responsible for all of this. I mean, just look at doctors, for example. You know, doctors are paid a very good wage to, under their oath, do no harm. But how many doctors jumped aboard this to save their ass? To cover themselves off and ignore the science, ignore the fact that they knew that this could harm people. They're just as responsible.
Swamp creatures and corruption are being exposed everywhere. Did you think this swamp and corruption was this deep-rooted?
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, at the end of the day, COVID, I believe, was brought in as a social engineering and conditioning mechanism for the masses to prepare them for what is still yet to come. So, you know, you look at the disease, a 99.7% survivability, and we locked our nation down, we locked our provinces down for a virus that really had very little impact, 99.7% survivability. So, you know, this is attached to a much larger agenda, Agenda 2030, and Sustainable Development Goals. That's what all of this was done for, to condition, socially engineer, the masses and condition them for what's still yet to come. And now we're witnessing climate lockdowns.
Is this all part of the Agenda 2030 push where you will own nothing and be happy about it?
100% it is. So one of the architects of Agenda 21 in its original form, now Agenda 2030, a guy by the name of Dennis Meadows, a co-founder of the Club of Rome, I have a clip pinned to my Twitter that people can go, and I encourage people to go and watch it, where he basically gives us two choices. And those choices are, we reduce the Earth's population by 6 billion people, or we could have upwards of 8 or 9 billion people but live under a strong dictatorship, in his words. And this is one of the architects of Agenda 21. And he's very clear and very honest in what he said in that clip. So I encourage people to go and watch that clip, because it tells you exactly, you know, back in the day when they first conceptualized this agenda, the number one element to this agenda was depopulation. And Dennis is very clear about that in this interview that I have pinned to my Twitter. And again, where he suggests we need to reduce the Earth's population from 7.5 billion to 1 billion. And how are they going to do that? Well, there's a number of different mechanisms they've been using to reduce the population on the planet. Abortion, euthanasia is becoming a big thing now. The transgender movement, where you indoctrinating kids, you're conditioning kids, you're confusing kids to where when they graduate from high school, they're going to be so confused, they're not going to join the traditional family values or the nuclear family and procreate and have children of their own, because they're going to be so screwed up from 12 years of the education system, where you have SOGI being implemented almost in every province, confusing our kids. So that's one of the elements they use. Plus this whole CO2 reduction narrative, carbon zero, is insane. CO2 is the fundamental building block of all life on Earth. If we reduce CO2 in the atmosphere down to 155 parts per million, all life on Earth begins to die. So why are we reducing a fundamental building block of all life on Earth, CO2, as a prerequisite to photosynthesis, which represents all life on Earth? All of our plants use CO2. They love CO2. They want more of it so they can grow. And more plants, more vegetation means more food for animals, which means more food for us. And this idea that they're going to, you know, solve the planet's problems by reducing CO2 is completely insane. So all of this is attached to a much larger agenda.
Yeah, well, the same people now are against nitrogen, which makes up most of our atmosphere. And plants need nitrogen to grow as well.
Right. And so in this agenda, there's a number of contradictions built in that they know exist. And that's one of them. Is this, you know, the reduction of fertilizer, nitrogen fertilizer, by 30%. Well, what does that create? That actually contradicts goal number two, reducing hunger. When we reduce fertilizer by 30%, nitrogen fertilizer by 30%, that's going to create mass famine and starvation around the world. And they know this. They know this. So people really got to start connecting the dots here and understand what's at play. I believe we're in the midst of World War III. It's not kinetic war. It's a cultural war. It's an information war, and it's a spiritual war. It's good versus evil. And the people have to awaken to what's at stake and what the consequences of this agenda really are.
We'll have more with Mark Friesen right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Friesen. Mark, Max Bernier and the People's Party of Canada are standing up for Canadians. Why aren't the establishment parties, the 338 members of Parliament, standing up for us Canucks?
Well, you have a Liberal Party that's completely bought into this agenda. You know, we've heard Klaus Schwab say that they've penetrated our cabinet. More than half of our cabinet is our World Economic Forum members. And so, you know, they're fully bought in. The Conservative Party in and of itself is responsible for this agenda directly by Prime Minister Brian Mulroney in 1992, was the first to commit to this agenda on our behalf. And when he did that, he didn't come back to Canada, task all of his MPs to go and inform the people as to what they just committed to. In fact, they did the opposite. They framed it all as conspiracy theory and labeled people like myself who were raising the alarms about Agenda 21 and now Agenda 2030 as conspiracy theorists. So, you know, here we are. The Conservative Party is just as responsible for this agenda being in Canada. It was in 2008 where they first created law in this country called the Sustainability Act, which then in turn makes this agenda binding within our country, where we have to report our progress in achieving the goals of sustainable development to an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity that created this agenda. And then in 2015, it was Stephen Harper who signed it up to Agenda 2030, September 27th of 2015, 1 month before the election of Justin Trudeau, who 4 days later, after being elected, in an interview with the New York Times, referring to our country as the first post-national state, relative to the agenda that Stephen Harper committed us to a month prior.
Are these allegations of Chinese interference in our elections part of the cover-up to take our attention away from what could have been a severe mass casualty event from COVID injections?
Yeah, it could be one of the covers, definitely, but it's, you know, that's an important issue too. You know, China's 100% in line with all of this, and they are actually, as Klaus Schwab has said, and many at the UN have said, that China, the communist Chinese, that country, is the model that they want to use for social credit, you know, digital ID, CBDCs, all of these control mechanisms, 15-minute cities, land use bylaw changes, all of these things are connected, and they're moving us toward the model, which is communist China.
Are provincial governments also complicit in these crimes against humanity?
100%. Absolutely. Scott Moe, I showed a video last night where Scott Moe, in 2021, the fall of 2021, put out a press release where he stated that his patience, the government's patience, has run out on all of these 20 to 30% of people in Saskatchewan that didn't take the jab, refusing to take the jab, and somehow it was a plandemic of the unvaccinated, is how they phrased it, when they knew that this jab would harm people. And they did it anyways, and they mandated it anyways. So the provincial governments have a boatload of responsibility in all of this as well. They're the ones that enacted the mandates and the jabs to be mandated through employers. And if you didn't take it, then you lost your job. So they're just as responsible.
If you were Justice Minister, how would you handle this?
I would immediately call for an investigation. 100%, not only federally but provincially and throughout health authorities. This needs to happen. The people, judging by the response, and I got 105,000 views on that little video I made yesterday on Twitter, and the response is people are very angry, and well, they should be, because the government knew. So I would call for an immediate investigation and hold every single one of these establishment politicians responsible for what they committed against the people.
Right. Now, according to the article here in the Western Standard, $75 million was set aside for vaccine injury support. About 1,300 claims have been made. So far, only 50 have been paid out. In other words, lip service.
Exactly. 100% lip service. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They've proven to us they don't care about the people. We are useless eaters. We are part of an agenda where they want to reduce the Earth's population, and they're playing right into this to this agenda. And this is what they had a part in. And it needs to be exposed.
Right. Now, again, this was acquired through the Freedom of Information Act. So this should have been made public knowledge at the time, not later, not years later.
Absolutely, 100%. Absolutely. The people needed informed consent before making the decision to get this foreign entity injected into their bodies and the harms associated with that. That's what needed to be told. I mean, there's video recordings of people going to pharmacies asking the pharmacist, can you please provide us all of the information in regards to this foreign body that you're sticking into our arms? And the sheets were blank, completely blank. Why wasn't there informed consent? It was all a massive cover-up.
Mark, where can people find out more information about this and more about you?
So you mentioned my website, yep. ffcs.info. Of course, I'm on Twitter, MarkFriesen08, and on Facebook. I also have an account on Rumble, which I'm using more and more often. I used to have an account. I still have an account on YouTube. I don't use it much anymore because I can't get anything done there. I keep getting flagged. So, you know, that's how you can reach me.
Mark, thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for raising awareness on this extremely important issue.
My guest has been Mark Friesen. He's known as the Grizzly Patriot. And you heard how he can, how you can get a hold of him to get more information about this topic. If you have any questions for us or for our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on Twitter at TalkDigitalNet. We're also on Facebook and BitChute. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.